You're listening to the Lost Bay Podcast, a show about and with indie tabletop RPG creators and artists. I'm Iko. Welcome back, folks. After a super long hiatus, we're back with a new season and a great roster of guests. And today my guest is Evangeline Gallagher, an amazing illustrator with a taste for dark fantasy and horror. You might have seen their illustrations pop up in your Twitter or Instagram feeds or on the covers and internal spreads of a few very cool RPGs out there. But real quick before we jump right in the episode, I wanted to let you know that we're about to launch the crowdfunding campaign for The Lost Bay RPG. The Lost Bay RPG is a suburban gothic game set in 1990X, where you play white characters with incredible powers. The Lost Bay is a set of two hardcover books and a collection of adventure booklets. The Kickstarter campaign starts on March 19. You'll find the link in the show notes, or you can just go to thelostbayrpg.com. And guess who's the lead artist of The Lost Bay RPG? That's right, that's Evangeline Gallagher. By the way, I've dropped Evangeline's Instagram link in the show notes. Hop on Insta and browse their illustrations while you're listening to the interview. Hey, Evangeline. Hi, thank you for being on the show. I've been wanting to chat with you about your work for such a long time, and I'm super happy. So thanks for being here.
And thank you for having me. I'm excited.
Many folks know you like in the RPG scene as an illustrator. Is that the right way to define what you do? I mean, how would you describe, you know, your job? What is it? What is it that you do?
Yeah, I always just say I'm a freelance illustrator. I think illustrator is the perfect way to describe it. I've always been drawing, for sure. Like, my mom is an artist and a graphic designer, so I've been drawing for basically as long as I can remember. But I think my focus on illustration really started when I was in art school. I kind of came in wanting to do like comics and cartooning, and then I kind of got really focused on like the editorial side of things. I try to do pretty much as many different aspects of illustration as I can, or as many different markets. Right now I'm doing a lot of book covers, which is really fun, which is definitely kind of adjacent to the tabletop game stuff. But I also do a lot of editorial work. Sometimes I go out of my way to say I'm absolutely not a graphic designer. I'm totally an illustrator.
what's editorial illustration, or what is it about? So what kind of work do you do?
I think editorial is definitely kind of like illustrator lingo. But I guess it's mainly like work for like accompanying like a magazine or newspaper article. That's, I would say editorial work usually leans really like conceptual. It's just that you can really portray an abstract idea or a lot of ideas in like a single image. So I think it's a really good way of translating the content to the viewer like really quickly. And I think that's why people choose sometimes to use illustration over photography in those kind of contexts.
Oh yeah. Yeah. You can give depth to an article like with the illustration and give context super quickly. I get it. And so obviously you do a lot of RPG stuff, and that's what we see like in the RPG scene. We are like familiar with your RPG illustrations. So when I first reached out to you asking if you were available to illustrate, like to do drawings for an RPG, which was like 2 years ago, I guess, you told me that you played games. So do you still play RPGs? What do you play? Like, do you still play? Do you play like on a regular basis, or?
Yeah, I definitely, I used to play more than I do, but I've always been like a pretty casual player. I started off in college just like playing like D&D, like 5e with my friends. And recently we've been playing more just kind of like any game with as few rules as possible. Okay. So we played some stuff based on like Knave and Cairn. We're currently playing some like old school essentials thing, but it's pretty casual and few and far between these days, but it's still one of my absolute favorite things to do.
So you're going indie with RPGs. You're going indie. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Big shout out to my best friend, Tyler, who is a great DM. He manages a game store, and he's really invested in the tabletop scene. So he always has really interesting indie stuff to show us, for sure.
As a kid or a teenager, were you into like imaginary worlds or I don't know, you know, comics, fantasy, whatever? Were you a nerdy teenager or?
Yeah, I was definitely a nerdy teenager, nerdy kid. Definitely when I was growing up, I was just a huge like reader. Like I would read just voraciously. So just very into like fantasy, escapism, that kind of stuff. Oh, yeah. And then I definitely had my sort of like anime manga phase as a teenager. Then that was also really influential into me starting to like get very invested in like making art and fan art. And that kind of stuff.
Oh, you made fan art. Okay.
Yeah, definitely. And then comics kind of came after that. Yeah.
Yeah, when I look at your drawings, I often find that they have a very like cinematic quality. Like there's a lot of movement. And I was wondering if you watch movies or if you were influenced by movies in your work, because sometimes it feels like, yeah, very cinematic.
Yeah, totally. I'm a big movie person, especially yeah. Like horror movies, stuff like that. But yeah. Yeah, of course, right? But movies like hugely influential. One of my favorite like I guess like practices or just little studies to do is just drawing like screen grabs from a movie that I like, and I think that that's really good practice for getting that kind of like scenic, like cinematic yeah. quality. But I also love like drawing like fan movie posters and stuff like that. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Cool. Speaking of that, I remember one illustration you did was a skater, like jumping with very long curly hair, I think. So it was like really impressive because you could feel like, I don't know, like a swoosh, like a movement, the skater like jumping out of the picture. And yeah, it was pretty impressive. Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah, I like that piece. I was like watching a lot of 80s, 90s like skateboarding videos at that time I was making that. Yeah, so that was a really fun one.
Makes sense. Okay.
Right.
And how did you fall into like drawing RPGs, like for I don't know, maybe you drew stuff for you and your playing group, but like for other people, like for indie designers? So how did that happen?
Yeah, there was like a very specific project that kind of kickstarted my job doing like tabletop game art, but also like kind of my career as an illustrator in general. And that was the One Night Strahd project that I did with Jake Kurzer and Adam Seitz. Mm-hmm. And that was just it was a very like intense project, and it was very long running. And it
because
ended
you
up,
had
like,
a lot of drawings to make, or
yeah I think the actual book is like, it's like that thick or something. It's like a crazy okay. book that we ended up making. But it was really nice because I got a ton of like creative freedom, and it kind of just made me like fall in love with working in that space, because I think people have a lot of care and respect for the yeah. art that goes into the games.
And is working like for RPG folks different from working like also in terms of what is expected from you?
Yeah, I feel like tabletop games is kind of its own realm for me, and it's like, definitely, I'm not just saying this, it's one of my favorite things to do. It's just a level of creative freedom that I almost never get from most of my clients. And I'll say like people in the tabletop community, like they love good art. They love and respect like the artists that they work with. Like I always feel like a super respected, valued member of the team. It always feels really fun and collaborative. And I've just met so many cool people like working on these projects. Like it's really something that like, even if I get to do a bunch of like high profile, whatever illustration projects, like I always want to keep doing small like tabletop zines just because they're so much fun.
Okay. We're so lucky about that. Yeah, that's cool. And by the way, what's your work routine day? So like, let's say in the morning, how does that start? Like you wake up and what do you do? Do you draw? Do you sketch? Do you use, like, by the way, analog tools or digital tools?
Yeah, all my work right now is digital. It's just way faster. So it's all in Procreate on the iPad. Yeah, my day usually starts like get up around 8. I usually just drink coffee and read a book for like an hour. And then I usually try to start with just a warm-up drawing of some kind, whether that's like working on like a personal piece that I've had going for a while, or just like doodling something, or like making like tiny little details on like a project that I have that's like ongoing. Because I feel like it's tough to just jump right in like really intensely to a project. But yeah, I usually try to keep a pretty like normal like 9-to-5 schedule, because I like lose my mind if I don't have a good routine. So I'm very like set on like Monday through Friday, 9-ish to 5-ish. Because otherwise I'll go nuts. And that's how I keep my sanity as a freelancer, more or less.
Yeah, sure. And I understand that. Yeah. And that makes me wonder, like, do you have like, you're working a lot, you're doing a bunch of projects, and does that leave you like room for like research or personal art or?
Yeah, it definitely depends on how much I have going on. Like the last few months, it's been pretty busy and I haven't been able to do as much personal work as I'd usually like to. But I usually make a point of making sure that I have enough time to focus on some personal stuff, just because that's like why I started making art. And that's like, I still consider that a really important part of my practice. And also that work ends up being like, if I make a zine or if I'm selling work at like a market or a convention or something, like that ends up being a big aspect of my like job and life in its own way. So it's something I try to prioritize as much as possible among other projects.
Oh, sure. Yeah. So yeah, for the folks listening to the podcast, I think that I wrote you when I saw what has become like the Lost Bay cover right now. Mm-hmm. So that drawing which you shared on Twitter, and I wrote you like, hey, can I buy like the rights for an RPG? And then we started collaborating, and I'm a super slow person, we've been working on the Lost Bay for 2 years now.
Yeah, I think talking about the original piece that's now like the cover, I think that piece was really kind of an exercise in like trying out that like really strong lighting. Oh. It's like a younger girl like holding up a lighter, and it's sort of illuminating her face really strongly from like below.
And the background is all red, like the darkness is red.
It's all red. Yeah, the piece is entirely red, just one color this time.
I've kind of noticed you work with usually like warmer colors, like limited palettes of warmer colors. Is that accurate? And if yes, like that's where does that come from? Why those colors?
Yeah, no, that's totally accurate. And I would definitely describe a lot of what I do as having like a limited palette. Yeah. I was definitely, I think my black and white or just like limited color work has always been stronger. So there was a long period of time where I was basically just using red. And then I think slowly over time, I've, you know, branched out and kind of challenged myself a little bit more in that aspect. But I think I always just go back to like that sort of single color work, because that was where I really started figuring out, I think, like my personal style.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that definitely like, your illustrations are kind of easily like recognizable. I mean, when I see like stuff popping on Twitter, I say, okay, a new Evangeline drawing. Yeah, but why like red or not yellow or green or purple, or what happens with red, you know?
I think it's just a really like impactful color. And I think when I was looking at a lot of, like in college, when I kind of started experimenting, I was looking at a lot of kind of like popular editorial illustrators, like Adel Rodriguez was like a really big influence on me at the time. And pretty much all of his work is just like black, white, and red. So I was kind of just like, I'm going to do that. I feel like it's like a really strong, it's just kind of a strong eye-catching color palette every single time. You kind of can't go wrong. Mainly the changes in my work have like really come from just trying really intentionally to build different skills and like experiment a lot. Like, okay, I'm going to focus on my color palettes. And then more recently, I'm like, I really need to focus on lighting. So I think all of those little things like come together to sort of like push my style a lot recently.
Yeah, I've seen that. And that's really cool. Like the sources of light, I mean, even if they were not present in the drawing, seeing where the light comes from and light effects on casting on the characters and shadows. And also something, maybe I'm wrong, I have the feeling there's more lines, like more lines coming into like inside the faces or like drawing details.
No, right? Definitely. I think that's really like kind of a result of me switching entirely to making stuff digitally. So I used to base a lot of my drawings on like, I would draw a lot with like a mechanical pencil or like a ballpoint pen. And that was how I would do a lot of my line art. And then I'd bring it into Photoshop and color it. So I think a lot of my work looked a lot more like flat. And now that I'm working with like the iPad, it's a lot easier to sort of work into those lines really intensely and like kind of go back and forth. So it's been a really good way to experiment with like getting a lot more detail into pieces, and because I don't have to be afraid of messing the whole thing up. So I think like I really like to just use like the tool, like the digital tools, for like what they can do. Like if I'm using a brush pen physically, like traditionally I can't just like erase into it or like but I like the tools, like the digital tools for being able to get that effect.
They give you more freedom, right? Like to experiment, try and express yourself. Yeah,
absolutely.
Okay. And that's right. I mean, I totally see what you said like earlier about that first piece, like that's now on the Lost Bay cover. I'm kind of amazed because it's still there. Like your style evolves, but that piece is still, I don't know, like... in sync with your newest style. It's kind of weird. I mean, that it's very strong. It's a very strong picture.
Oh, that looks more like what I'm doing now than it does what I was doing then. It's like a sort of like little fortune telling piece almost.
And so I was wondering, how do you, what happens when you get a brief? How do you process it? Maybe you're not aware of that. Maybe, I don't know, it's all, everything subconscious. I have no idea. Because frankly, what I'm wondering is how come you can draw like things that always are on point and are so accurate, even with like a 5-word brief. So how is that possible?
Yeah, I think, I mean, that's something just to like speak to the collaboration that we've had with like the Lost Bay. I think that's kind of a result of just working on the same project for a long time and kind of nailing down like what the style, like what the vibe is, and kind of being able to have that in the back of my head when I like read a new brief. I feel like makes it really easy for me to just like jump into the work. But I mean, briefs from clients can range from just like do whatever you want, basically, to like 10 pages of like extremely detailed notes.
But like 10 pages, so to speak, or 10 pages, like actually 10 pages or...
Actually 10. I mean, it depends on the project. But yeah, I think I just got a brief. It's for a longer story, of course. Okay. But yeah, it's like, it's long.
Let's speak about like a few pieces maybe you've made for The Lost Bay. Is there like, well, I don't know, one piece that was like harder than the others to make, to draw, or something that made you like think more, I don't know, or try more stuff?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think the easiest ones for me are always the like really character driven ones, because I think it's easy to do a lot of storytelling with just like a character and like a face and an expression. I think the one that comes to mind as like a more challenging piece for me is the spread that we did for, I think it's for the travel guide of like the strip mall. Cause I think you really have to figure out how to like just drawing a location, especially like a location, like a strip mall, which I feel like for a lot of people is like not a very interesting location to think of maybe, but I think it's more challenging for me personally to get that like narrative into just like a landscape. But it was a really fun challenge, and I ended up really liking that piece too.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's really cool. I've been doing some layouts on it lately, and it's really cool. And yeah, and it's really strong. And I like the way like you inject some kind of like weird dark fantasy vibes to like realistic landscapes, like you did for the cover of Unit DH17, where it's just a small prefab house, but around it, like in the sky and the grass and the background, there's weird vibes, stuff flowing, and that gives it like a very eerie look.
I kind of wanted, when we were just this morning when I was going through some of the like Lost Bay stuff, I was just thinking about like the project in general and like how good of a fit it has been like for my illustration style. And I think it's cool that a lot of the sort of the like 80s, 90s like movies and skate culture and like that kind of stuff, the stuff that's like so influential to this project is also super influential to like my work in general. So I think that's like why it's been such a fun project for me to work on. And yeah, it's just been a great time.
Yeah, it's been a great time. So first of all, thank you. And I'm glad that works for you. And your art has been art influential into that, because like your art in general has influenced a lot the way the game has evolved from its first shape to what it's becoming right now. Yeah, with the 80s, 90s dark fantasy vibe. Yeah, so I feel cool. I feel super lucky that I've and not sure if you want to talk about that, but you've been drawing like amazing characters. Like, do you have like mental database of faces, or do you look at people in the street, or do you just draw whatever comes? So how?
Oh, man.
Like for example, like for the Lost Bay, like the last face character you drew was like the screamer, and it's already amazing. It feels like, so it's a person screaming and shattering glass, but like the expression on the face, and so like do you have a directory of faces hidden somewhere, or?
I guess I do. I mean, I kind of have a directory, like a mental directory of faces, because I used to do a lot of like portrait drawing, and I think that just doing that sort of methodical like life drawing, portrait drawing practice, like you kind of get a sense for how different people look and like how much variety there is in people's features. I'm sure that there are faces and like traits that I go back to. Like I really like drawing like long, dark, curly hair, so a lot of my characters end up looking like that. But
why is that fun to draw?
Ooh, I don't know. I feel like hair is really fun to draw for me, because it's like kind of in between being like a real thing and being like abstract. So it's like you don't have to pay attention to like where every strand is, but it's like fun to just kind of turn my brain off and like draw the little highlights and stuff like that.
But wait, listen, do you keep like doing live portraits? Is that something you did in the past, or is that something that's still in your practice like now? Or
yeah, I think like in college I had a really like traditional like classical portrait class that was really influential to me, but it's definitely something that I maintain in my normal practice. I definitely do a lot of portrait commissions, especially like for friends and family and stuff like that, but I almost always have my sketchbook on me, so I I'll like go to a bar and like sketch people really quickly, or I'll sketch my partner while we're sitting around. So yeah, it's always something I always like drawing faces.
And dogs, right? Sometimes you post what is it, like to chill out a dog commission portrait? Can you tell us about that? So, and with a very different style, by the way, right?
Yeah, I think that is like the sort of the dog portraits, which I love doing. They're so much fun. They're just fun for me because they're really quick, and they are just like they're a different style. But for me, it feels like less style. Like I don't have to think about making them look like cool or narrative or anything. It's just like draw a dog. But I also like, I'm a dog owner. I love dogs. So it's fun.
Yeah, they're not like demon dogs for hell. Yeah. From hell. They're just dogs. Okay.
Right, they're just normal dogs. So it's good. Another thing where I'm like, I get to use my like, kind of use my brain in a different way, like rather than like the more illustrative style. I think for my like sketchbook practice, I think it's really important to continue some kind of like traditional drawing. So I always have like a physical sketchbook and some pens on me. I also like in my free time do some like printmaking at home, which is another thing that's been super influential to like all of my work. Because I think
wait, printmaking, what does that mean? Like, is that like a stencil or
the kind of printmaking that I've been doing recently is like linoleum cuts. So it's basically a block of linoleum that you carve into and then roll ink over and then press into paper. So it's like what's called like a relief printmaking technique. But I did a lot of that and wood carvings in college. And I think that was really influential to my style for sure.
Oh, yeah, I can see that. Yeah, because you have like a very strong contrast in the structures and in lighting and visual structures, lots of contrast.
Definitely. Yeah, it helps with that like really stark, like, because if you're doing relief printmaking, for me, at least I was just using like black. It's a lot of like just black. So it's like, gives you a really good sense of like the sort of positive and negative space, just working with like black and white only.
And is there any kind of subject or kind of work you haven't got a chance to draw that you'd like to draw?
That's a good question. I would love to be commissioned to do a movie poster. Make a lot of movie posters in my free time, and I've never ever gotten a commission for one. And I would love, that's like, I'm really lucky in that I've been able to do a lot of my sort of bucket list projects at this point already, and that's amazing, but I've never gotten to do a movie poster, so that's okay.
So let's make that official. That's out. That's like, you know, like people listen to that, spread the word, and
hit me up. Yeah.
But listen, your art has something that goes from like magical realism through dark fantasy and up to like horror, like vibe, something like that. And I think that comes out like even in your personal work when you share like personal drawings.
I think that comes a lot from just my personal like references and what I'm interested in. Like I watch a lot of horror, I read a lot of horror and like dark fantasy and sort of magical realism. Like those are all sort of my favorite genres of thing to consume in general. But I think also like a lot of it comes out of being like sort of a weird sad kid that was always making sort of really dark stuff because I felt bad and it was a good outlet for me and I think, you know, I'm happy that that's continued into something that's like still such a good outlet for me and is like really fulfilling for me to make. But I think it's like really a combination of those two things.
And about that, sometimes you share some drawings that are they're personal research, and they feel some kind of like almost like a diary, you know, like writing about your own thoughts and feelings. And when I see those, I think, oh, Evangeline has been like relating or processing stuff. Is that what happens? Or
yeah, definitely. Like I think that was always my way of processing and coping and getting stuff sort of out of my system. And I definitely think it still is. It's something that like, I don't know, it definitely helps me like just think through things in my own life and kind of explore those like thoughts and themes. And I think it's always been something that's really good to fall back on when I'm struggling. Mm-hmm. If I'm able to like make a lot of work out of that, not to say you need to struggle to make good work, because of course that's like the trope, but I think always been something that helps me navigate those places in my life for sure.
Okay. So yeah, that's really interesting, because like you maintain that like a personal drawing space where you both practice and explore more like personal feelings and stuff, and those two sides, like commission work and personal work, they're connected, and so I know something happens there.
Yeah, definitely. They like definitely inform each other a lot. Like I learn a lot from doing my personal work that I can bring into my professional work. And I think ultimately, like illustration is about like storytelling, and like I think that that's, whether that's like myself or somebody else, I think it's all like very informed by each other.
Listen, one last question. Okay. Sure. The Crimson Eye tarot deck, because like of course RPG nerds love a tarot deck. So was it like 2 years ago or something like that you kickstarted a tarot deck, which is of course super red, everything is red, and it's really cool, and it was available only in the US. So I've got it, but I found like a friend, a designer friend, Samantha Lee, who like backed it twice and sent me one of them. So yeah, like is it something you use on play tarots or?
Yeah, I my mom got me into like reading tarot cards when I was really young, so it was something that was like always like of interest to me. And I think I've seen like so many really incredible like reinterpretations of the Rider-Waite tarot deck, and they're always something that's like I've been seeing them so often, those illustrations, like since I was like so young, that I feel like they've been really influential to me. So it was always like, that was always like a project that I wanted to kind of take on, was like designing my own tarot deck. And it is currently sold out, and people ask me if I'm going to reprint it, and hopefully I will reprint it this year. year, but I'm really hoping to get it kind of more widely released hopefully. But yeah, that was a super fun project for me, and it was totally just like self-imposed, I guess.
That's really cool. And right now, what are like the big projects, RPG or not, you're working on right now?
I'm working on a bunch of stuff. I'm working on a project with the Folio Society that I'm really excited about. I don't know if I can announce the title yet, but I'm super excited about that project, as well as another book that I'm illustrating that I don't think I can announce the title of.
Let's go.
I'm hoping to work on another tabletop project with Adam Seitz from One Night's Rod. That's not totally confirmed yet, but that's my next exciting tabletop game that I'm hopefully working on. And yeah, I'm doing some cool posters too. I'm working with Pearl Jam again, and that's
Wow, congrats. So what are you doing, like tour posters or album posters?
It's a poster for their next tour date in Baltimore.
That's amazing. You illustrate a lot of stuff, and of course you're gonna illustrate the Lost Bay, so people can look at your drawings in the Lost Bay, and that's cool. But yeah, where people can see your work and follow your work, like what's the best way?
Yeah, I'm on Instagram, I'm on Twitter, I'm just at Evangeline Gallagher or E Gallagher Art on almost everything. I also have a website that I keep updated pretty frequently, which is just evangelinegallagher.com. but yeah, social media, best way to keep up. I post as frequently as I think to, really.
And you sell prints, right?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I sell on I sell prints on imprint of most of my personal work, and I also have some more like high quality like screen printed posters that occasionally will pop up on my my shop through my website.
Well, Evangeline, that was super cool to have you on the show. Thanks a lot for coming. And folks, like, I'll drop all the links to Evangeline's socials and website, and follow their work. Just amazing. Yeah, awesome. Thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. It was super fun.
That was Evangeline Gallagher, illustrator and artist. In the show notes, you'll find links to Evangeline's social networks and website. Be sure to give it a follow. You've listened to the Lost Bay podcast, a show about and with indie tabletop RPG designers and artists. It's produced by me, Iko. Editing is by Laura Elle. Music by Avery Isles. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to give it a follow and a rating. Thanks a lot for listening, and until next time, stay well.